Good evening. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna. And now for Nuggets, a locally produced program focusing on the Northern Susitna Valley. Created by your friends and neighbors at Pothole Productions and Talkeetna Community Radio. From comic relief to serious beliefs, each week brings you a fresh nugget. I'm Holly Stinson, and tonight's show is a neighbor nugget featuring the neighborhood known as Mile 7, Question Lake. Its unofficial borders would be roughly from mile 6.5 of the Talkeetna Spur Road north to Barge Road, just past the Mile 7 marker. It's bisected by the Spur Road with Question Lake to the east and a handful of folks on the west side where Answer Creek meanders to the railroad tracks before it turns south. Early residents from this last century include Hugo Tollefson, Eddie and Billy Barge, the Valentines, and a character known as Montana Red. Tonight we'll hear from three of the present-day residents, the daughter of a homesteader on Question Lake, a woman in her 80s who lives in a signature log home on the Spur Road, and another woman who is the second generation to live in the same home. On a cold but sunny morning in March, I visited with Joyce Borge, daughter of homesteader Eddie Barge and his wife Billy. She grew up on Question Lake, along with three siblings, and still lives by the lake.
He was born and raised in Nome and went to school in Holy Cross, and then because of the mining in the Cache Creek area, relocated to this area. He was a pilot. He had Barge Air Service. And had his plane there on Question Lake, and then it was before the war, because of the war he sold his plane when he went into the war. When he went into the service.
Mm-hmm. And are you talking World War II?
Mm-hmm. Or Korea? Yes.
So he had it on Question Lake before World War II.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. To my knowledge, yeah, I've mm-hmm. seen pictures mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm.
And he had an air service mm-hmm. operating off of Question Lake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and When I would fly in small planes, I learned how they have their call signs, and I came back and said, "Dad, what's your call sign? What were your numbers? You know, because that's kind of a cool lingo." Mm-hmm. And he says, "That was before there was radios."
Wow.
Both him and mother have albums of before they met each other. That they're like two separate lives. Mother was from New York State, and a city girl, if you will. And how she acclimated to Talkeetna is beyond me, but. Yep, she was from New York State, and Dad was raised in an orphanage in Nome, or Holy Cross.
In Holy Cross. Mm-hmm. And how did they meet?
Here in Talkeetna. They met in Talkeetna.
What in the world was your mother doing here from New York State, from a city girl?
Well,
from New
her York father's State. Name was George Weatherall, and he was actually, he had come here because of the Cache Creek mine, mm-hmm. and he was one of the five partners at the time, I believe, and he was also the first commissioner of Talkeetna. So he and his wife, my mother's mother, were in the process of possibly considering a divorce. But one last chance, I guess, is the way it was told me. He brought his wife and his three daughters, of which my mother was one, here from New York on a cargo plane, nonstop cargo plane, a DC-10. And they were the only passengers on the plane. It was quite the story, I guess. But they arrived in Anchorage mm-hmm. and then came up here, and you know, there had to have been, I'm thinking, I want to say 1947, I'm guessing. So she was in her late teens, and her father brought them up here, and although her parents did not get back together, my grandmother married into the partnership of the Cache Creek claims then. And so she stayed. And I guess Uncle Tom's cabin, there's a cabin in Talkeetna called Weatherall's Tom. Apparently that's my grandfather's brother, so whom I never met. But there's things yet to be And mother and dad married in the early 60s, and by then dad had already had the homestead on Question Lake, and from what I've been told, they dad had a shop in Talkeetna, a 12 by 24 shop that he had built, where, because he did a lot of work with equipment and cat trains for the mining and oil mm-hmm. industry and out of Talkeetna. And then when he had a family then, he apparently was going to build on Question Lake a log home, but by the time he got to the logs that he'd fallen for his log home, the ants had eaten the log, so there goes the log home. But in that event, he hooked on his DC or D6 dozer and hooked onto the shop and pulled it all the way down from Talkeetna to Question Lake, and that became their first home, which still is in existence. That became...
And they moved out of town to the homestead on mm-hmm. Question Lake.
And there was only one other person on the lake at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And as I grew up, I adopted him as my very own grandpa. He often watched us kids when mother and dad would have to make a trip to town or, you know, do business or otherwise. We'd go stay with Grandpa. He was just the most charming, interesting person. He was also a railroad worker from Spokane, from what I understood. But he had the most interesting garden, and he did all this by himself. He cut all his firewood with a cross-cut saw. He had a wood cook stove, which we didn't. Mother and Dad had a propane stove. But he was so organized. He had all his fly fishing poles in a certain order. I was so impressed. His stationery was in a certain order. His pipes that he smoked were all perfectly organized, and he had the most wonderful cookie jar. I mean, to me, it was different than what I was used to. And he lived at the south end of Question Lake, where the outlet is, and that's where he'd get his drinking water. And to me, it was always fascinating because it was perfectly located in the shade, and it was always the coldest, best water, and yet we both drank out of the same lake. Well, he grew the most beautiful strawberries, and every time we'd go there, the treat was, I mean, he had the most hilled up, perfectly rowed, and it wasn't necessarily a small garden, I don't remember, but he had strawberries, and we'd always get to have canned milk and strawberries and sugar when we'd go visit, along with the store-bought cookies, which I don't know where those came from, because we didn't have them, but outhouse was also his tool shed, which was just fascinating, because everything was just... I've never seen organization like that. It was just incredible. And he was a very kind person and just worked steady, steady, steady. And it was probably through his access to the railroad tracks, through his trail, because he had been here first as a trapper, and that mother and dad used that trail then to access the railroad to get groceries or get a ride to Talkeetna before the road was in.
Mm-hmm. And, so you would go to the, I mean, they would go to down to the south end mm-hmm. to Tollefson's and then cross follow over. His trail mm-hmm. over to the railroad tracks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Time mother and dad needed to get to Talkeetna before the road, we'd pay 50 cents. And even mother's German Shepherd dog would get on the train, and we'd flag the train down, and all of us would get on board and put the dog in the baggage compartment, and we'd get to Talkeetna. And, yeah. I was just going to say that mother talked about when she first came here and lived with her father, her way of earning income or living or buying the winter clothes that she needed was that she ran her own trap line, and she trapped beavers and weasels and marten, and she would then send her order off to Sears and Roebuck. And she talked about the time she got her first order in the first winter she was here, and she had never been on a dog team, and that's what her father did, was he ran his trap line using a dog team. And she thought that was, you know, pretty eerie to be left from one lake to another or whatever, one cabin to another, while waiting for her father to return. But apparently they had a cabin in Talkeetna, her father did, where she stayed. And after her first, I think it was like 2 days after her first clothes order came in for her winter gear, there was a fire in the night, and she lost all her new winter clothes she had ordered by Sears and that she had earned by trapping. And that also reminds me that when mother and dad built at Question Lake, or they, you know, worked over the years to build a home, everything they got came on the railroad. And everything I thought belonged from Sears. I mean, all their appliances, every gadget you can imagine came from Sears and Roebuck. But it all came on the railroad. And things that my dad's name to this day is still written on some of the lumber in the house that my brother is now rebuilding. But you can see his... E.J. Barge, Alaska Railroad, written in real hidden places on the lunches. He doesn't take it off, and he's reused a lot of the lumber. But The railroad was the main way of getting supplies in, although I remember Cliff Hudson did a lot of flying. He would fly, you know, to Anchorage for different reasons for our family. And both gravel road first went in, there was something called McKinley Bus Lines, and it was run and owned by, I want to say, Roy Payne was his name. And I can remember it was a red and white bus, very similar, I'm remembering it as a school bus, but it would bring supplies as well, which we thought was pretty neat. I remember my mother getting our first bicycle came on that bus line. I remember them dropping it off, and they'd stop at the end of our road and bring whatever we had ordered, but she got her first bike that way, which I thought, first two-wheel bike, which we all took over. But McKinley Bus Lines was quite interesting and did serve a purpose, and it gave passengers as well as freight.
How did you get things from the railroad back to your cabin on the lake?
Well, there was a cat trail, and then I think by then Dad could either skid it on what they call skids, and then by then it was drivable. Even though we didn't have four-wheel drive, he could drive his truck and haul things that way.
That way.
Mm-hmm. The first time he came through with the one again in the shop, if you will, and it was just like a cat train. It was a small, like a D6 dozer, and then it had its sled, like a log sled. Mm-hmm. It had the wash machine, the wash tub, everything we owned was on it, and it was just brought from Talkeetna like that, and it was quite, it was in the springtime, I remember, and it had to have been an adventure. Like I say, Mother raised us kids there without a phone, without a car, a long time without a road, and she would, you know, if she wanted to socialize while Dad was working for maybe sometimes a couple weeks out at a time, she'd grab us kids and the dog, and we'd walk the railroad tracks. If we didn't flag the train, she would walk to Talkeetna on the railroad tracks. And I remember I didn't get carried. My brother got carried. But, you know, and so I tried to imagine what it was like for her to do that. Again, we were raised on the lake, and she didn't swim, but we didn't drown.
She didn't swim, but we didn't drown. Sounds like a success story. To end our visit with Joyce, she'll tell us a scary story.
Well, the kids, we had to stay over with Grandpa Hugo for some reason. I don't remember what the occasion was, but of course, then we used oil lamps. And so darkness was, as kids were quite aware of the darkness, but for some reason, Hugo had been invited to walk across the lake to visit another, I don't know how new of a neighbor, but I remember later hearing that he was quite the famous person, and I don't know exactly what his history is, but I do know his name. His name is Montana Red. And I remember thinking that it was quite the adventure to walk across the frozen lake with just a flashlight and holding onto Grandpa Hugo's hand and just taking this long journey, which it seemed as a kid, to go over there in the dark and into another cabin. And what apparently they went for was to visit and to play cards, which I thought as a child I'd never been in an experience like that. And it was sitting in this dark cabin, and I think they must have had a couple beers, and I felt quite intimidated. But this apparently later on I found out this Montana Red was somewhat of a famous, I'm not sure, character, and there are probably people in the area in that know a little bit of the history know who he was, and but at the time I didn't. But I just thought it was kind of a challenging, eerie experience as a kid to do that. It was quite the adventure.
I'm Holly Stinson, and tonight on Nuggets, we're listening to a neighbor nugget. We've just heard stories told by Joyce Borge, daughter of homesteader Eddie and Billy Barge. Next, we'll listen as Eleanor Ebling, who lives in the fantastic hand-built log home along the Spur Road, reminisces about the good old days with her husband Mike, known to most everyone else as the incomparable Ace Ebling. Eleanor let me in, and we settled at her dining table under the snowshoe chandelier. I asked her about the early days.
It was a dirt road. When we got the property in 1966, and then it was paved when he came back in 73. He liked to trap my dad, and so we were familiar with the neighborhood, and of course, at that time, there wasn't that much going on in Talkeetna. There was the Fairview Inn, which was a gathering place for people, and also Swiss Inn was here, and the teepee. He built the cabin in 67. And so it has the little cabin, and it had a house that Mike built also on there that was a rental.
Was your house all finished by the time you moved up?
No. Nobody's house is ever finished in Talkeetna. In fact, it can still has places where it could be worked upon.
Yeah.
Got the first cutting permit, or the last cutting permit, I mean, in the area. So we didn't cut many of the logs from this area, but down the road on the Comstock Road, you had a cutting permit there.
So that's where most of these came, and you'd haul them out here. He hauled them out. He cut them there and hauled them out here.
Yeah. Some of the wood comes from buildings that he tore down at Elmendorf. This wood.
Mm-hmm.
He collected antique tools that some of them you can see around.
I see
around.
Some. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he carved also the totem poles. That.
He was pretty talented, wasn't he?
He was very talented. He was an excellent artist.
And we talked about their days running a bed and breakfast.
With this agency and the insurance that she had, Mike was able to take the clients up the river fishing, or sometimes in the winter with the snow machines.
And this was when you ran your bed and breakfast?
Yeah, during the bed and breakfast time. That I was the first one here in the area, so the hotels sometimes, well, there were so few accommodations, mm-hmm. would send me people, or she would book them through her agency in Anchorage. And
that helped you get building money, as you said?
Yeah, it helped us a lot. And then it was also interesting to me. It was still here from some of the people.
Who were your guests at your
B&B?
What was the name of your B&B?
Oh, it was just
have a fancy name.
No.
It was just a...
just a place to come, and we used to give them a full breakfast and, you know, talk to them. They became our friends. And then I also used to do GED in this area. And so there were a lot of older people that had never finished high school, and it was something that they wanted to complete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have something that is not finished in your life. So that was very rewarding. I enjoyed that.
Do you have any idea how Question Lake got its name? Have you heard?
Oh, yeah, that was through the Tollesons. You'll have to ask Cliff about it. But, like, he named it Answer Creek. Well, it would have been Cliff's grandfather was a remarkable person, and he didn't want anything named after him. And so there's Answer Creek and Question Lake, Answer Creek.
For now it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, and I'll waltz out the door. And I've been missing my two friends, Ace and Eleanor. We shared forever this beauty and open space, and down in my heart you will always have a place.
That was Larry Zarella, who has lived in the Mile 7, Question Lake neighborhood for many years, singing a song he wrote about Ace and Eleanor called Abilene's Waltz. You're listening to Nuggets on KTNA Talkeetna, and tonight we're airing a neighborhood nugget. Terry Holt moved to property at the corner of the Spur and Barge Roads when she was 9 years old, living in a home that her dad, Richard Holt, moved up from Anchorage.
Thanks for coming over.
Yeah, it seems like it's probably going to be fun. And the Holt family, let's see, I think we bought the property in 1980 and around there. And our family was coming up to Talkeetna because my dad's always been a workaholic. So we had the place in Anchorage, or we moved to Anchorage. And then shortly after moving to Anchorage, one of his jobs, being a mechanic, Lonnie Anderson, I believe was his name, Lonnie Anderson, his family moved up with the Byrds from Texas. They moved up together. So the Byrds bought right across the road, still in this Question Lake subdivision, and then they moved across down the lake. And he didn't move into Anchorage, he was working in Anchorage and met my dad in there, and he said, come on, bring the family up to Talkeetna. So we started growing up, you know, for the weekends up to Talkeetna, and we'd bring a tent, and the whole family pitched the tent, and then my dad helped Lonnie and his family build the cabin. So that cabin that's down there, that was recently for sale a couple years ago, remember, down there at the lake? My dad helped build that, originally.
Right. And that was for Lonnie?
Yep, Lonnie and his family.
Okay.
And then we met the Byrds, because Lonnie had come up from Texas with the Byrds, so we met them, and then let's see, we bought the property, and then originally Lonnie and Dad had wanted to mill. They're going to mill.
Mill lumber?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it was 5 acres. It was two lots, 5 acres, and they were going to originally mill. And then Dad stayed in Anchorage for a little bit, and we'd come back out and visit the property and stuff. And then just very shortly, I was 9 years old when we moved here for good. Dad bought a house that was sitting in Turnagain area, and was an old army house. And he bought it from a friend, and then that was his first moving experience, because he took a best friend's truck and he moved it from Anchorage all the way to Talkeetna. And then we had no power, nothing like that. So we were roughing it for the first almost 5 years, I think. And parked the house in the middle of the road, and the Borges lived down the road. What it was is the temporary road ran through our property.
What?
Yep,
okay.
And that's what that was. It was a temporary road, and then they built the new road. And I remember old man Borge coming over and Eddie Borge coming over and go, I can't get home!
Because you parked your house in the middle of the road.
In the middle of the road. And Dad said, well, no, this is my property. I bought it, and this is the temporary road. I don't want to keep it a road because it runs right through my property.
After reminiscing about the past, I asked Terry about the future.
you know.
What do you think it's going to look like in the future? Like 10 years from now, what do you think? Or 20 years from now?
Girdwood. You know, it gets closer and closer to being like Girdwood, you know. And anything that was Talkeetna will be pushed out so far, you know. And it's like most of the people who had to come up here and have dog teams anyway didn't have electricity and everything, so it's not a huge surprise to them that they have to be pushed back to areas in which there is mm-hmm. no. But for me, you know, I mean, I don't have a dog team, but I have several dogs.
Yeah.
And then I have the horses and stuff like that. And, you know, we bought our property on, it's totally open, you know. There's no restrictions.
Unrestricted.
Whatsoever. Unrestricted. Mm-hmm. And some of the neighbors don't like the dogs, and some of the neighbors don't like the horses. And, you know, we got Borge down the road that have the horses now, too. And it's, you know, it's kind of neat to see some of the community come back like that, you know.
Like it was.
Yep.
We
had tons of stuff going on when we were younger. I mean, just tons and tons. The community pulled together and did things for the kids. And, mm-hmm. you know, some of the kids now, they're like, there is nothing to do but drugs and this and that to, you know, just hang around downtown. Yeah. And it's like, yes, there is. For everything that you want to do, there's anything. You know, there's snow machines and, you know, start a snow machine club. There's horses, start a horse club. Mm-hmm. There's dogs, yeah. start a dog club. I mean, there's tons yeah. and tons and tons for them to do. We got the first pony from the dog pound. He was auctioned off because any livestock that they get, they have to auction.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, I got my first pony the first year being there, and he was bought from the dog pound, and he bit the snot out of me. Bit the snot out of me. I had a great big bruise, and Mom said, "You don't want him." And I said, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do." So I've had horses since I was 6 years old. So around to do some overnight horse trips and stuff with the horses.
With your children.
With the children, the whole family and everything. So Israel unwillingly having to go because he says his motorcycle is much smoother than the horses.
I'm Holly Stinson, and I'd like to thank Joyce, Eleanor, and Terry for sharing their stories with us tonight about the Mile 7 Question Lake neighborhood. Also, thanks to Amanda Stossel for her technical help. You've been listening to Nuggets, a locally produced program focusing, there's the music, on the Northern Susitna Valley. Do you have a nugget you'd like to share? If you would like to host a show, be a guest on this program, or get involved in some other way, please call the station at 733-1700. You may also contact us through the website at ktna.org. Clyde Connolly will be your host next week, and the show will be about the Red Hot Ravens. The weather forecast for the Susitna Valley tonight is calling for clouds with a slight chance of snow accumulation 1 to 3 inches, lows upper teens to mid-20s, and cloudy Wednesday with scattered snow showers, highs mid-20s to lower 30s. You're listening to KTNA Talkeetna. Up next is City Arts and Lectures. Thanks for joining me tonight.